if you want maximum download. Somebody say maximum download or spiritual blessing. You have to focus on him. Amen. This word I received yesterday after praying in tongues, I know it's for someone in this church. I will still give them personally, but I also want to give the church. So open your Bible to 2 Corinthians. This is a word from the Lord. It's a word of prophecy to somebody in this church, but it may also benefit you. It may also benefit you. So I will share it before I go into the sermon. And like I said before, it's important that you learn. If you want to enter the supernatural, you have to learn to pray in tongues. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Open to there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Where is Sean? He's here. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17 and 18. This is a word of God for someone in this church. It's not just a sermon. This is a prophecy or a word of prophecy for someone in this church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Who would like to read this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are reading verse 17 and 18. Please read.
For our present troubles are small.
For our present troubles are what? Now confess yourself, say my present troubles
are small.
You see, many times in life, what you are going through is a matter of perspective. Hallelujah. What you are going through is a matter of what? Perspective. And that's why it's important you don't keep listening to the wrong people. If you keep listening to the wrong people, your problem, yeah, they can make it look so big, it becomes overwhelming. Are you listening to me? Yeah? It's a matter of what? Perspective. Continue.
I won't last very long.
You see that? King James says, a light affliction. He said, I know you are going through affliction. Just like Joseph. Joseph went through affliction. Yeah? Joseph went through what? Affliction. If I'm very right, I mean, you can correct me. I don't claim accuracy. Imagine at 17. Yeah? He was sold. This was the beloved of the father. With his coat of many colors. He was thrown in a pit. From the pit, he was sold into slavery. From slavery, yeah, he went to dungeon. Hallelujah. You know when he came out? How old was Joseph when he came out of the dungeon? How old was Joseph when he was released from prison? Anybody? Okay, that's homework. He's about 30 years old. So how long did he go through that affliction? 13 years. Okay, but let me ask another question. Do you know how old Joseph was when he died? 120, I think it's more than that. 125. Please Google, let's find out. How old was Joseph when he died?
180.
Yes. Who is there? How old was Joseph when he died? You see, that's why you need a smartphone. Hallelujah. 110. So how long did he enjoy the victory that God gave him? 110 minus 30. What? How long was he afflicted for? 13. You see, when Joseph was in that affliction, it looked like the biggest thing in the world. But Bible says it's a light affliction because it's for only what? A moment. Now, when you are walking with God, sometimes you may go through affliction. Sometimes you may go through hard times. But if it's God, the victory that God will give you, you will enjoy it for much longer. Hallelujah. Joseph suffered for 13 years, but he enjoyed for how long? 80 years. Hallelujah. Your affliction, yeah, that you are going through or that you've gone through is light compared to what God has in store for your life. So you have to keep the right perspective. If you don't, then you will miss God. Are you with me? It is possible to be afflicted all your life if you miss God. Amen? Because the devil is a thief and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you are walking with God, and it seems that you're afflicted, just hold on. Hallelujah. Keep living by faith. Keep walking in love. And keep persevering in hope. You are guaranteed breakthrough. That will outlast your affliction. Hallelujah. Please continue reading. It's for a moment. Continue. What is it working?
Yet they produce for us a glory.
Listen, Bible says, what's going to produce glory in your life is affliction. I know you are praying for glory, but many times glory does not happen without what? Affliction. Are you with me? When God wants to take you to his school to teach you something, he may pass you through the furnace of what? Affliction. No, there's no affliction in your life right now that God did not allow. It may not be his perfect will, but anything that is happening, he allowed it. Amen? You know Job? Yeah, Job was doing well. He was a man that feared God. You know? And he honored God. God boasted about Job. Okay? As far as the CV was concerned, it wasn't as if there was a problem with Job. Amen? But God still allowed. God still allowed him to go through all affliction. Now, when God allows you to go through affliction, it's because he wants to revolutionize your life. When you go through, when the believer, see, when an unbeliever goes through affliction, you can destroy them. Because they don't have faith. Hallelujah. But when a believer goes through affliction, because you're a child of God, that thing is supposed to make something not good drop out of your life. There are bad things in the life of the believer. Things you are holding on to that should not be there. Sometimes you don't know. But when you go through affliction, whether it was your fault or not your fault, it's an opportunity for those things to drop. There are some things you value. But when you go through affliction, you understand that they are valueless. Are you with me? There are some friends that you value. But in your time of affliction, they will disappoint you. Then you know that they are what? They are valueless. Are you with me? When you go through afflictions, there are some things you hold on to that, oh, yeah, this is very important to make it. But in your affliction, that thing will let you down. And it will drop out of your life. Amen? That's why your affliction is able to produce. What produces glory? Affliction. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not wishing you affliction. Please don't tell your neighbor, smile at them. Don't tell your neighbor, smile. Say, I'm not wishing you affliction.
I'm not wishing you affliction.
Hallelujah. But I want to assure you something. Any affliction that God allows to come to your life, God is not seeing it as affliction. He's seeing it as school time. Amen? You know, one thing that always amazes me about my kids is that when it's school time, yeah, 7 a.m., you have to wake them up. Wakey, wakey. And sometimes they will cry. I'm not talking about Sean. Sean is a big man now. And they will, you know, the throw tantrum. And that's why it's important to force them to go to bed early. That way you can control it. But you know what happened to me some few days ago? It was amazing. My last son, Ryan, he came to me. He said, oh, daddy, it's already daytime. So why can't we just wake up when we like? I thought he was going to say like, you know. I said, like, what do you mean? He said, like 6 a.m. I was this. You know, because all the time for me, time for extra sleep for the parent. Yeah? You don't have to worry. You know, I dread school time because I need to wake up early. But all the time, he wants to wake up earlier and sleep later. All the time, all my kids, you don't meet them in bed. And when it's 7, they are up. I don't understand it. Hallelujah. The same thing with the school of God. Affliction is school time. Where? Because he's a loving father. He doesn't just want you to be a bread and butter, empty-headed, empty vessel. He wants to train you, build character into your life so that he can use you. Amen. In all situations, God's greatest goal in your life is to use you. And many times you make a mistake, you say, God, bless me. You are missing the point. The point is that God, you are not yet blessed until God is using you. Because that's what he made you for. Someone says it's like using a remote control to hit a nail. The remote control is not made for what? Hitting the nail. Hallelujah. God wants to use you. So you say, God wants to use me. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of your life. You need to understand, we need to change perspective. When we change perspective, our prayers become effective. When we change what? Perspective. Our prayers become what? Effective. Hallelujah. Amen? Say, my affliction
will produce
glory in my life as I cooperate with God. That's the condition. This is conditional. Amen? If you don't cooperate with God, your affliction can destroy. But if you cooperate with God, it must produce glory. Hallelujah. It must what? Produce glory. Joseph was not just an immigrant into Egypt. He was a refugee. He went to Egypt as what? As what? A bond man. But he did not become prime minister. And even got a free wife. He didn't have to lobby. He was just giving. Hallelujah. And then God now used him to save all his family, including those that sold him into what? Slavery. Including those that saved. You know, when they put him, they say, "You are finished." God used him to save them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he could have missed it. He could have messed up in Potiphar's house. Hallelujah. He could have stolen when he was made the head of the administration in Potiphar's house. He could have stolen the money. Nobody would have known. But he would have missed his destiny. He could have compromised when Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him into sexual immorality. Yeah? And like, I know exactly what would have happened. So I know. The woman will use him, then dump him. 100%. He will be done. Finished. He will be a servant in Potiphar's house forever. Hallelujah. But he continued to live by faith. He continued to walk in love. And he continued to persevere in hope. Somebody say, live by faith.
Live by faith.
Walk in love.
And
persevere in hope. There is a time to persevere. Are you with me? When you plant a seed into the ground, you have to want. You have to do what? Persevere. If you don't persevere, you will go and dig the seed up. No harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a time to do what? To persevere in hope. Amen. Persevere in hope. Your light affliction will produce glory. Because you are walking with God. Did you say, I'm walking
with God.
You have to see it that way. Perspective. Please continue reading.
Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever.
Hallelujah. Now, let me just explain that. It's saying that when you allow God to work in your life and you cooperate with Him, and someone say, "Oh, Pastor, how can you cooperate with God?" Simple. Live by faith, walk in love, and do what? Persevere in hope. It said that when that glory comes, it will outlast the affliction. In fact, it will not only outlast that, it will outlast you yourself. Because when Joseph became, even after he died, his people were still benefiting. I want to assure you something. The children of Israel were not slaves for 400 years. You just need to read the Bible and do the math. When God spoke to Abraham and said, "Your children will be slaves for 430 years, that 430 years counted from the time God spoke to him until the time they inherited the land. That included all the time they were not yet in the promised land. They were not even in Egypt. They were just, until they inherited the land, they were like slaves. But it's easy to calculate. If you calculate, you find that actually the time they spent as real slaves was no more than 100 years. Amen? Because they couldn't have been slaves until Joseph died. And Joseph lived for how many years? 110. And from the time God spoke to Abraham to the time they moved to Egypt, 215 years had passed. Meaning that the maximum time they could have spent in Egypt is 215 years. Now, subtract 40 years that they were in the wilderness before they entered the land. Are you with me? 215 minus 40 is what? Come on, Matt. 215 minus 40. 175. So that means that the maximum time they spent in Egypt, from the time Jacob and his children moved to Egypt and when they left, was 175 years. Now, how old was Joseph when they moved to Egypt? Let's assume, you know, he became prime minister at 30. And not long. Let's just assume 40. But we can calculate. It's in the Bible. But I can't. Let's say 40. Yeah? And when did Joseph die? 110. So that means that for 70 years, out of those 175 years, Joseph was alive. Could they be slaves? So how much do you have left? 105. And I can assure you that they did not start being slaves immediately Joseph died. Are you with me? It's a light affliction that is going to work a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. Let me show you another thing you need to understand. How old was Moses when he led his children of Israel out of Egypt? 80. Because when he was 40, he first tried its flesh. And he failed. He knew it was to rescue them. If you read in Acts, he said, he thought they should have known that he was the one to rescue them. But he did it in the flesh. He failed. Do you know what God did to Moses? God delivered him to his school. You know God has a school. It's called light affliction. Amen? Moses, from 40, you know he was coming from palace. He thought he could use muscle. He thought he could use muscle to rescue children of Israel. But he only ended up killing people. Then he ran. Yeah? And for another 40 years, he was in the wilderness. Taking care of what? Of what? Sheep. That's how he became the meekest man. When you take care of sheep for 40 years, you know how to be meek. Do you know why? Because sheep are stupid. So, one of the things you learn when you are in charge of sheep is what? Where's my mic? Yes, give me. What do you learn when you are taking care of sheep for 40 years?
Humility.
That's a good one. It's not perfect. Patience! You learn what? You learn patience by force. Amen. So by the time he came back when he was 80, he was what? He was patient. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you are struggling with patience, the worst thing you can do to yourself is to say, I don't have patience. You have killed everything. Don't confess it. Amen. You know, all these children, you are stressing me. I don't have patience. What do you mean? The Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience. So, actually, in the Spirit, you have what? Hallelujah. If you want to see a fruit in your life that you are not living, start believing and confessing it. Don't confess the fact. That one is fading away. Confess the truth. If you see that you're always unhappy, yeah? I say the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And what? And joy. And what? So what do I confess? Say I'm just unhappy. What do you mean by you're just unhappy? Say I have joy. Say I have what? Joy. Let's sing it. I have joy like a river. Oh, is it a river? Joy like a river. I have like a river in my soul. Now, nothing can change it. I have. God gave you that one. Nothing can change it. Joy like a river. Hallelujah. Joy like a river. You know what else I have? I got peace. I got. Like an ocean. Ocean. I got peace like an ocean, peace like an ocean in my. It's inside you. It's inside you. I got peace like an ocean, like an ocean. I got. Do you know what else you got? You got love, like a fountain, like a fountain. You got love. Love like a fountain. I got love in me. Love like a fountain. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's coming from inside your spirit. I got love like a fountain. I got love like a fountain. I God, love like a fountain in my soul. Amen. Let's go back to our mathematics. So they had the maximum of 105 years in Egypt, in which they could have been slaves. And Moses led them out of Egypt when he was 80 years. Yeah? So, when was Moses born? Moses was born about 25 years after Joseph died. Are you with me? Hello? And it's very possible that for those 25 years after Joseph died, they were not yet in what? Slavery. So, it means that when they started being slaves or being enslaved, so don't misunderstand, they were in general slavery because they were not in the promised land for 430 years. But they were in actual slavery when they started, you know, when Pharaoh started making life difficult for them. It means that the same time that Pharaoh decided to put the children of Israel into slavery in Egypt, God raised up their deliverer. Hallelujah. Say, God is working. Hallelujah. Say, he's got my back. It's a matter of perspective. You see, if you see God in your situation, it affects your attitude. Amen? It affects your attitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot afford to suspend your life because you are waiting for something. That thing, whatever you are waiting for, is not greater than God. Amen? Whatever you want today is not greater than God. Hallelujah. And whatever you are waiting for today can never make you permanently happy. I hope you know that. Think of whatever you want now. If you get it, yeah, you will enjoy it. I know you'll be happy. But that is not what will make you permanently what? Happy. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Say, God is working. Please go back and let's read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Please continue. So it says, start again.
Okay. For our present troubles are small.
And our present troubles are small.
Continue. And won't last very long.
Yes?
Yet they produce for us a glory.
They are producing what? A glory.
That vastly outweighs them and will last
it will outweigh
forever.
Them and it will outlast them. Continue.
So we don't look at the trouble.
This is not what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Sorry, sister. This is exactly what you need to do. Many times, yeah, when you're going through things, you just think that, okay, I just need to put it all out to God. I got nothing to do. No. No, you have things to do. Say, just say, I have things to do. If you all had nothing to do, God should just automatically promote all of us to heaven. Yesterday. You got me? Why should someone preach to you before you get born again? God should just born you again. Are you with me? There is always a response that man gives to God. Amen? Now tell us what we need to do. Verse 18. Please look at your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18.
Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen.
Hallelujah. Let's start from the beginning, what you were reading before. So we do not do something.
So we don't look at the troubles we can
see
now.
We don't look. Somebody say look. It is a perspective problem. Hello? There's what? A perspective problem. Hallelujah. Amen? It's a possibility problem. It's how you see it. Not exactly how it is. Your biggest problem is not what's happening. Your biggest problem is how you see what is happening. When you had, 12 spies were sent you to look at the land, the promised land of Canaan. Yeah? They all went there. They all saw the same thing. They saw the graves. They were big. They are still big today. I hope you know. Graves from the Middle East. They are big. They are nice. They saw the nice fruits. But they also saw giants. They all saw it. They all saw. Amen? But 10 of them, their problem was not what they saw. Their problem was how they saw it. Amen? They came back and said, oh, the land You know, although it has grapes and whatever, but it is full of giants. And we are not able. And you know what happened? They never entered. Those 10, they never entered the promised land. They died. Hallelujah. They were giants. Yeah? But what are you going to see? Are you going to see giants? Are you going to see God? When you see God in the midst of your situation, that's faith. Hallelujah. Faith causes God to move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Faith causes God to do what? To move on your behalf. You see, you have to change your perspective in life. You see, and let me just tell you one thing. Don't make a mistake of trying to use God to solve your problem alone. It's the worst thing you can do. You know, because like, has somebody ever used you? You felt used. Anybody here ever felt used? Like somebody used you. They used you and forgot you. Anybody? Yeah? It may be light, yeah? Or it may be heavy. Now tell me, was it a good feeling? No, feeling used, does it feel good?
It doesn't feel good.
Okay. Let me ask another question. When feeling used, does it feel good? Okay, now I'm going to give you some breath. Now tell me, think about it. Why doesn't it feel good? Anybody? Why does feeling used not feel good? Yes. Because what? Please, everybody put your hands together for that sister. I don't think we can get something better. Because what? Because you are being taken for. So who art thou, old man, to think that God likes being taken for granted? Hello? God, I don't have time for you, but just fix my problem. And I will just thank you and go continue living my life. I don't have much time for you, but fix my problem. I know you are God, you are able. Do it. God does it, you walk away and go and do your own thing. Like you don't know God. What have you done? What did the person do?
They're just taking God for granted.
They just use God. Are you with me? Now, God is interested in solving your problems. But much more than your problems, God is interested in you. Hallelujah. You know why? He made you. And there are three reasons why God made you. Somebody say three. One, God made you to know Him. John 17:3 said that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is life eternal. When, as you know God, life begins to dominate you. You are made to know God. Say, I was made to know God. Number two, God made you to love Him. Hallelujah. Please don't misunderstand. God wants to be loved. Do you understand that your greatest need as a human being is to be loved? Hello? Let's go to the back seat. You know the back corner? Some people are always in the back corner. Yeah? Do you realize? Tell me, what's your greatest need in life? That as a human being, okay, don't spiritualize it. As a human being, what do you think is what you've prayed for most as a person, that when it happens, it makes you just happy? Yes? I know the answer already.
Love.
To be loved. Amen? And you know, to be loved here is not just about, you know, romantic love. You know, having a fiancé or a boyfriend or a husband. Yeah? That's part of it. But even by your friends, you want to be loved. Even by your family, you want to be valued. To be loved can also mean to be valued. Yeah? You know, have you ever felt good when an old friend, long time, gave you a phone call? Yeah? It's that need to be loved, to be valued. Amen? Hallelujah? That's the greatest need. And God Himself wants to be loved by you. The second reason why God made you was what? So that you can love me. See, God made me to know Him and to love Him. Now, for £1, who can tell me the third reason why God made you. You can't afford to miss it. Just hit it on the nail.
To fellowship with him.
To fellowship with him. Yes, no, that doesn't hit it. Let me explain why. Because fellowshipping is part of love. You know, when fellowship dies in love, love is dying. Hello? That's why Kay said, don't deceive yourself and tell me you love God and you don't spend time with him. You don't love God. I'm sorry. You may love ice cream or pizza or partying. But if you love God, you got to spend time. You know, because love itself demands fellowship. Do you agree? Hello? Love demands what? A phone call, a visit, a card, birthday card, thank you card. You know? Love demands fellowship. Hallelujah. Love demands what?
Fellowship.
A knock on the door. Love demands fellowship. So that was a good try. You know my style by now. Okay. Let's give you. Yeah.
To serve him.
To do what? To, please let me put your hands together for the chairman of the Daily Ojo family. To serve him. This is a core thing. It's a serious matter. That is what you were made for. So someone say, oh, but pastor, what do you mean? Are you trying to tell me that I should leave my job, leave my children, become a nun in the monastery of Barcelona to serve God? No. Hallelujah. You have to see everything in your life as a tool. You are a tool. Your husband is a tool, or your wife. Your children are tools. Your salary, your job. Salary is not from job. Salary is money. But job itself is the time you spend there. It's a tool. Everything is a tool that can be used to serve God. Amen? So God is not saying leave anything. He's saying use them to serve me. Are you with me? Yeah, you don't need to be a monk to serve God. Where you are, what you do, what you say, what you give, can serve God. Are you with me? That's your purpose. And so, we were made to love him. We were made to know him. We were made to serve him. And I want to tell you something. Do you know that in eternity, we will continue to do these things? I keep telling you, you know, he said, I've gone to heaven to rest. Yeah, maybe they are resting for now. But I'm sure you read it in your Bible that it said that heaven will come back, come down to earth. So we are coming to live this physical life again in eternity. And we will be serving him. Because before Adam sinned, God told him to tend the garden. Amen? Forever in eternity, we will be knowing God. You will never know God finish. Let me say it that way. You will never finish knowing God. Amen? Even in all eternity, you will be knowing something new about God. Amen? You will never stop loving God. You will continue to grow in your love for God, even in eternity. And you will never stop serving God. Even in eternity, you will continue to do his will. That's why those who will not go to heaven are those who refuse to do his will. Because if he does the will of God, we abide what? Forever. That's why anybody who refuses to do the will of God will not be allowed in heaven. Because when they go to heaven, they will start rebellion. You know rebellion? Yeah, they will start riot in heaven. You know some people, will, if they are allowed into heaven, they will do riot. Say, God, your own is too much. Let me be. So God said, before there is riot in heaven, let them send it to where they like to riot. You know, there's a lot of riot in hell. They riot every day. They curse themselves every day. Hallelujah. So God wants to bless you. God wants to intervene in your situation. But more importantly, God wants a relationship with you. So go back to what we are reading as we'll be rounding up gathering. Verse 18. Please go back to verse 18. So I've taken the word God gave me yesterday and I've expounded it. That becomes a sermon. Go on.
So we don't look at the troubles.
We don't look at the troubles. Now. But, continue.
Rather. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen.
What are the things that cannot be seen? Please, let's pause. Let's go to the youth. Hello, youth. I say we are not to focus our gaze on the things that we are seeing, but we have to focus our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. What are the things that cannot be seen that we need to focus on in order to have the right perspective?
Like faith and hope and love.
Faith, hope and love, yes. Yes, you know it. Okay. Any adult you want to help? What are the things that cannot be seen that we need to continue to look at when you are going through affliction? This is your response. This is how you are going to deal with affliction. You don't deal with affliction by sitting down and moaning and complaining. You don't deal with affliction by feeling down and feeling sorry for yourself. It doesn't solve the problem. You don't deal with affliction by listening to the song that says, "Be happy, be happy, be." You don't have, there's no reason why you be happy when things are not going well. But you can be joyful. Amen? Happiness is physical, joy is spiritual. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. So just say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. So how can you be joyful? You rejoice in Him. You sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Even in the downtime, you make melody. Yeah? In your heart to the Lord. Let's make some melody. Let me give you an example of melody you can make in a dull time. You say, even when I don't see Him, He's walking. Even when I don't feel it, He's walking. You never stop. You never stop walking. You never stop. Come on. Even when I don't feel it. Even when I don't feel it, You're walking. You never stop. You never. One more time. Even when I don't see it, You're walking. Even when I don't feel it, You're walking. You never stop. You never stop. Stop. You never stop walking. So what are we to do under light affliction? We must continue to see God. You have a relationship with God. Jesus said, you know, when Potiphar's wife turned, he said, how can I do this? You know, let me tell you something, and I'll keep preaching it. Even if you are the bishop of Basingstoke, you can still be tempted. Are you with me? Because you are still in the body. Amen? But when temptation comes, think like Joseph. See God. Say, I'm tempted. You are tempted, but how can I do this wicked thing and disgrace God? Hallelujah. You see God. Hallelujah. You got to see God. When you see God, you will have right perspective. Amen? You will not be carried away by your affliction. Because your affliction is small compared to what God wants to do with your life. Amen? Say, God wants to do something good with my life. I need to back off of my plans and allow God to execute His plan. Your plans will never, never, never compare with God's plan for your life. Amen? Don't plan for God. Plan with God. Amen? Amen? Don't do what? Plan for God. Because when you plan for God, you made Him a puppet. Plan with what? He said, God, I have an idea. What do you think? God, I'm thinking of relocating to, where do you want to relocate to? Yeah? Southampton. Or what do you call it? The islands. Some island in Spain where you, He said, what do you think? Because the plan may sound good, but God may not be a God's plan for your life. You can even follow your plan. People are praising you. Say, I love you. Everything about your life is just posh and douche. Amen? But are you in God's plan? Because if you are not, you will miss God. Are you with me? Amen? Like the word that came last week from Toby. The fact that things are working well for you is not necessarily a proof that God is with you. Amen? You can be off God's plan and everything looks okay. When you put off a fan, it can still keep rolling. And the fact that things are not working well for you does not mean that God has left you. Amen? Let me now show you the proof of how you know God is with you or whether God has left you. It's your relationship with Him. Amen? If you have a relationship with Him, He will speak to you. and you will speak to him, then he's with you. Amen? So long that you are still able to speak to God and God is speaking to you, God is what? With you. And if he is with you, he will take you over. That affliction must produce glory. So long you are walking with God, it must produce what? Glory. But to make it produce glory, don't look at the things you are saying. They will discourage you. They will distract you. They will devalue you. Amen? Look at God. Look at his word. The word of God is part of what you don't see. Amen? Look at the spirit. Feed on the word. Drink of the spirit. Yes, I know you are in affliction, but keep, the fact that you are in affliction does not mean you should suspend fellowship. In fact, actually, when you are in affliction, that's when you need what? Fellowship. I want to emphasize that point. I said if you are in affliction, that was the time in your life that you needed fellowship most. Amen? Continue to stay in fellowship. Continue to feed on the word. Continue to drink of the spirit. Continue to give thanks. Amen? Continue to what? Give thanks. Hallelujah. You can give thanks for what you don't have. You can do what? You can what? Give thanks for what you don't have. You know why you can do that? Because you're not seeing the physical, you are seeing God. Hallelujah. You are doing what? You are seeing God. I don't have it, but I give thanks for it because I see God. Hallelujah. And once you keep that attitude, yeah, you it will come true that the things you can see, they are temporal. Amen? But the things that you cannot see, they will come to manifestation in due time. And they will last. They will outweigh and they will outlast your affliction. Let me round up on this note. Some of you here, there are specific things that God wants to use your life for. Well, you've put God aside. You've been chasing your parents' dream and your grandparents' dream. You've been trying to prove to those in your family that I'm somebody. I will show them. Me too. I'm so. Yeah. And all that time, God had some things for your life. You miss God. 10 years of your life will go like that. Maybe 20. Yeah. And you will miss God. Ah, yeah. You can put on a nice chain and dance. You miss God. Because when you appear before God, he will never ask you about how much you impressed your family or friends. Yeah? He will ask you. He will show you that, oh, but I had this plan for your life. And you never did it. Are you with me? We're going to pray now. And what you want to do is just appreciate God in your life. And say, God, you have a plan for my life. And I yield myself to your word and to your spirit. After all, I have said I'm a child of God. That the meaning is that I'm yielded. I'm a child of God. God is my father. God is my father. His business is my business is his business. Everywhere I am, everything I do, everyone I meet, I am an extension of God to this world. And whatever life is throwing at me, the first thing to do is to see God. Walk with him. Live by faith. Walk in love. It doesn't always feel good to love, walk in love, but you got to do it. And persevere in hope. Your light affliction will produce for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As you continue not to look at the things that are seen, but you continue to see God and walk with God and do what he tells you to do. He'll be giving you instruction because the Holy Spirit is in you. He will tell you, don't go. Do this one. Leave that. Go there. As you continue to give thanks, you will be seeing a supernatural turnaround. But most important is that you will look back in your life, there will be no regret. You know you lived it for God. You know, the people that don't regret anything on their deathbed are those who did the will of God. Amen? There's no regret. They look back and say, no regret. No regret. No regret. Amen? That's the only way to live without regret. Even when you're on deathbed, you not say, I wish I had more money in the bank. You know, I wish I sent my children to better school. No, you'll be measuring your life based on, all the things that God told me to do. Did I do them? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's rise up and sing to the Lord. our light affliction. Say, my current affliction is light, is momentary, but it will produce for me a far greater wave of glory if I choose not to look at physical things, but to look at God and His Word and His Spirit. If I choose to live by faith, to walk in love, and to persevere in hope. If I choose to stay in the place of fellowship, if I choose to stay in the place of thanksgiving, if I choose to stay in the place of obedience, glory is coming into my life, in this world. Hallelujah. Let's sing Treasure of My Heart and of My Soul. Just invite the choir to support me there. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Even in my weakness or in my affliction. See, your weakness can be an affliction. He said He's merciful. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Never. He's the redeemer of your past and present wrongs. And the holder of your future. I want you to sing that song to God as
holder of my future.
Let's just start. And again, I will sing. Treasure of my heart and soul.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past. Holder of my future. We're going to sing it again. But just use this word as a confession. Say, Jesus, you are the treasure of my heart and my soul. I will dedicate myself to you. My Lord, I put you as the king of my heart, the king of my affairs, the king of my decisions, the king of my choices, the king of my hopes. Confess it to his, make that a prayer this morning. Say, Jesus, in my weakness, in my afflictions, you are still merciful. You will never allow me to be tempted above what I can bear. But even with the temptation, you will make a way of escape. Jesus, you are the redeemer of my past and present. Even where I've missed it, you are merciful. You are redeeming. You are healing me. You are restoring me. Jesus, my future is in your hands. You hold it firmly and you make it good. Glory is coming in my life because I trust in you. I choose to trust. I choose to walk in love. I choose to persevere. I choose to live by faith. Hallelujah. Just one more time. Treasure of my heart and soul. In my weakness, you are merciful.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
Redeemer of my past. Holder of my future.
Of my future days to come.
Let's sing one more time. Treasure of my heart.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness, you are merciful.